Welcome to Hot Takes, the Hot Wire podcast, and I'm Rahat Rashid, Senior Media Relations Manager and your host for this episode. This is the first series of episodes focused on media relations topics, featuring reporters from within the industry, offering key advice and valuable takeaways on a variety of topics. Today, you are listening to Life of a Trade Show Journalist, and I'm talking to Mike Andronico from CNN Underscored. Mike joined CNN Underscored in November 2020 as a senior tech writer, focusing on helping people find the best gadgets for their needs via original columns and tested reviews. With a wide range of beats that include audio, computing, and gaming, Andronico has embedded himself with the VR fitness community, made a strong case for ditching AirPods, and launched Influenced, a weekly interview series that spotlights the tech that content creators use to get their job done. Mike, thanks for joining us. Really glad to have you on here. How long have we known each other, actually?
Ooh, I think we're, I want to say it was maybe 2014 when we met. So we're getting close to 10 years here.
Wow. I didn't, 2014 feels so far away. It's really interesting because I think the first time I met you was at my first agency, and it was just like a quick meetup where we're just playing video games.
Yep.
And just drinking some beers. And I'll be honest, I think you were one of the first people I actually met in my PR career. So it
really,
I think that was the first time I actually met media reporters.
Well, I think, especially you and, you know, the people that were at your agency at the time, it was kind of the same for me. I think you guys were some of my first like PR friends where I kind of had a rapport with outside of just, you know, getting emails from and whatnot.
Yeah. And at that time you were at Tom's Guide, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane just to see how things have changed. And yeah, happy to see things have been going well for you at CNN Underscored. And you've been really keeping up with some really awesome stories out there.
Thank you.
So just to get into this topic, I think this is a really fun one, particularly because one of my favorite things working in the PR professional career is attending trade shows. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been doing it even before that. When I was dabbling into journalism and getting experience into like going to E3 for the first time, I'm just like, whoa, this is super awesome. This is super cool. And getting to get an early look at things before it even is in the hands of consumers. So it's very different from both sides. And the approach is very different from a PR professional and a journalist based on my personal experiences. And I'm sure that like for you, it's the same experience as well for you, right?
It's trade shows are very exciting. I think kind of like you, I've been going to them since the beginning of my career. I definitely got thrown into the deep end because I started at Tom's Guide mid-2013, maybe summer 2013, and immediately had to go to CES that January. So I went from having, you know, and that was my first full-time journalism gig. So I went from having very little experience traveling and going to trade shows to going straight to CES, which was a great way to learn a lot of things really fast.
What was the experience like just jumping in, like, what is it like working at a trade show or like getting ready for a trade show? What's it like working with PR people in that sense? Like, what do you generally see happen in that process? And what are some things that you personally like that PR people do? And some things that you would possibly say like, hey, let's slow down on this a little bit, because I'm pretty sure you get bombarded with a bunch of emails.
Yeah, for sure. Great question. I mean, yeah, I think the process, it really depends on the show, but, you know, using CES as an example, as you know, that's like a months long process where, you know, CES is every January. Obviously, it's been different the past few years because of the pandemic, but, you know, CES is typically in January. I feel like I'm booking CES meetings, you know, by November, sometimes even as early as October. So I actually do appreciate when companies reach out kind of early. I know some people dread those CES emails, but I don't mind getting them, especially because at least for the outlets I've worked for, you know, there's also Black Friday, Cyber Monday, which is a crazy time to be working in any type of tech or commerce journalism. So I actually appreciate when, you know, people reach out about CES before that and I could start making some plans a little early. So it's really, it's typically a few months of just going back and forth with folks over email. And as far as things I appreciate, like I said, like I do appreciate kind of the early reach outs, because I've definitely gotten invites at the very last minute where it's just kind of, my schedule is kind of full at that point. So definitely the earlier the better. I do appreciate, you know, I've met with a lot of, well, not a lot, well, I've met with several PR teams and PR people where the meeting, you know, I like meetings that are kind of loose and informal. I've done meetings over breakfast, you know, over, you know, sometimes a drink at the bar, which, you know, sometimes there's a play, time and place for that. But, you know, I always appreciate kind of a casual setting where the more freedom I'm given to kind of just check out the products with like minimal handholding. Obviously, you know, they're always going to be there for questions and walkthroughs and whatnot. But yeah, I appreciate like those types of laid back meetings where I'm kind of free to explore the products at my own pace. And, you know, I can ask questions if I want, but it's just feels very relaxed and kind of, you know, I have a lot of autonomy to kind of do my job how I want to do it.
Yeah. I like the fact that you brought up the point that, you know, one of the best ways to engage with media at the show specifically is not really just on the show floor. It's more of like trying that casual meetup. And that's probably my personal favorite thing to do as well. You know, I think the Cosmo is probably my favorite spot at CES, and we just go there at the show.
Yeah, I feel like that's the central meeting place for all of, you know, tech media that whole week.
Yeah, and just like sitting there and just like catching up. And I think you make a good point. I think it's really important for us as PR professionals to really kind of give you the rein of like how you want to approach covering this story, rather than like trying to always kind of navigate you in the direction. Like, we can give you the resources and things like that, but we definitely need to give you that free rein to see like how you want to create this content. And as us PR professionals, I guess, would you agree that the best way to do that is just really just be like that person who's really providing the facts and information for you to digest?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I always appreciate it. Just getting the facts, getting a quick walkthrough. And then if it's a, like I said, if it's a product briefing where there's a suite and there's a bunch of, you know, laptops and phones or whatever is laid out, you know, I always prefer to kind of get to explore that stuff at my own pace instead of having someone walk me through every product and go through every detail. And also this is partially a trade show thing, partially, you know, it also applies to kind of one-off meetings and briefings, but I definitely think time is an important factor. You know, I've personally been to a few briefings that were just very long and overwhelming, and I feel like I was just getting too much information all at once. So I personally appreciate, you know, brevity, and just especially during a trade show when we're trying to book so many things at once and find time to write and sleep and eat, which is not always easy during a show.
Well, I've got two questions for you on that. So the first one is, you're walking around on the show floor a lot, and like, you know, you're running down from schedules, one schedule to another. Actually, three questions. The first one is, does it even make sense to email you while you're on the show, at the show? Like, is there any point of like trying to shoot you an email during that time?
The short answer is not really, you know, that's definitely not. I mean, I'm still checking my email as much as I can during any trade show, but that's definitely a much less effective way. I feel like because I'm running around so much, like, you know, a text message or, you know, anything of that nature is probably what I prefer, just because I'm very quite literally running from hotel suite to hotel suite and, you know, trying to find a cab in the middle of Vegas or wherever I am. So yeah, I think that's the one week where I prefer, you know, more direct communication, whether it's a text or a call, if there's any type of last minute emergency or change of plans or anything like that.
Okay. Well, and then I guess the next question is, let's say you're walking down the show floor, and do you appreciate when PR people actually like stop you on the show floor and be like, hey, I mean, I think that's what I do to you when I'm at CES and E3. I'm just like, and you could totally say you hate it. Like, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, is that something that you generally do appreciate when people come by and like try to get? And if they do, what's the best way to approach it? Because I think, like, sure. You just pointed out that people sometimes go on a long drone and trying to explain everything all at once. And like I said, you've got a limited amount of time at that show floor.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll be honest. I generally don't prefer that. I think it's, you know, there are exceptions, especially with folks like yourself that I'm really close with and people that I've worked with a lot. where it's kind of a different dynamic, you know, if where we can kind of, you can kind of hit me up more casually and we figure things out that way. But I don't, you know, I'm not a fan of any type of just like cold calling in general. And that extends to like, you know, being on a show floor and being flagged down. I feel like, you know, again, when I'm at a, let's say it's a Pepcom or one of those kind of multi-vendor big open things, like I really like to, you know, if I want to go to a booth, I'm going to check it out. I don't really do well. I'm not a big fan of, you know, trying to get pulled into a booth or that kind of thing. So yeah, I definitely appreciate the PR folks who kind of who understand that, and they know that, you know, we're going to come by if we want to come by. If not, we'll, you know, follow up later and get the materials or whatever it is. But so yeah, in general, that's not really my favorite thing, but obviously there are exceptions. If it's someone that I know really well or someone that I work with a lot, you know, the dynamic can be a little different.
What's kind of the weirdest experience you've ever had on the show floor as you've been walking through? Is there any kind of like stories where you've just gone like, why, what just happened, or what's going on here? it doesn't have to be from a PR professional, just in general. Or you can also mention like one of your favorite experiences that you've had on the trade show as well. I know, yeah. That's a lot of questions, because you've gone to how many shows so far in the span of your career now?
I could not even count. I mean, you know, yeah, like I said, I've been doing this full time since 2013. I've pretty much since then, I've gone to like every CES, every E3, been overseas a few times for Mobile World Congress and for IFA. So at least dozens probably at this point. But a lot of things come to mind on both fronts, on both the good and the bad. As far as the funny stuff, you know, I mean, people are generally pretty cool and respectful. One, actually, this is definitely PR related, even though it's not always PR people making this mistake. But I worked at Tom's Guide for many years, and a lot of people got confused with Tom's Guide and Tom's Hardware. And I would have people like, not both like PR people and just regular showgoers, see my badge and be like, "Oh, Tom's Guide, I love you guys. I love your PC building guides that you do," which is very much a Tom's Hardware thing. So I dealt with a lot of that, and not just in the PR world, but just in general, there's just a lot of brand confusion, where a lot of people get mixed up about who we actually are, even after I would like take the time to explain it. So that kind of thing definitely happens at trade shows. As far as favorite experiences, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, the best parts of all these shows, as we know, is just kind of getting to see people in the industry and getting to spend time with people you don't normally get to normally. So yeah, you know, just a lot of great nights out, just seeing friends in the industry. Have spent a lot of those with you. A lot of those have been in Vegas, so I can't go into too much detail about them.
He's a Vegas man.
But no, yeah, obviously, you know, getting to, again, like getting to literally see other parts of the world. Like I was really blown away the first time I went to Barcelona and Berlin, which is something I never thought, like, you know, doing this job would take me to. So, you know, just the excitement of travel is cool. And then of course the actual work, getting to see really cool tech and really, really cool games before they're released. I think some of my favorite trade show experiences have definitely been just being in the room for a lot of those E3 press conferences. There were a lot that come to mind, but the 2015 Sony one, where they had kind of the trifecta, I think it was Final Fantasy VII, I think it was The Last Guardian, and maybe Shenmue 3 or something like that. It was like three huge announcements all back to back. And being in the room for those and just hearing everyone erupt with excitement, those moments definitely really stand out, and kind of that's definitely one of the most fun parts of the job.
Yeah, I think I've gotten to attend maybe one or two like PlayStation conference events. One is like just a PR person who was working gaming, and the other time was as a journalist. And yeah, if I had to personally choose that experience, you just brought back some really good old memories. those PlayStation conferences were absolutely amazing. Like any of those shows, even Microsoft in general, it just felt amazing just to be, it kind of like a celebration in some ways, where you're just like all there together to celebrate video games
and see what's in the future in store for you. And I've always enjoyed that experience because especially when they throw those like surprises, I think at the end of one of my shows, they announced God of War for the PS5. Mm-hmm. It was really like the last minute. And I was just like, what?
I vividly remember that. That was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, I miss E3, I'll be honest. I don't think they're doing it this year, right?
It's up in the air. I think as of now, it's still on schedule as far as a digital event. So there's going to be no in-person E3 again, but now, you know, I've heard rumors that even the digital part might be going away. So we'll see. I do miss that a lot. Definitely my personal favorite conference to go to, just because obviously I'm a gamer, just like you. Yeah. Like to hang out, see new games, see my friends in the games industry. So I would like to see that come back.
Yeah. And I think that show has evolved and changed a lot. Some for the good, some for the worst and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of like matured a little bit. I think back in the day, we had like tons of booth babes just walking around, just trying to get us to drop by their things. And now these days, it's like slightly more professional. And then they started moving to consumer, and now companies are just like, we don't even want to be there anymore. We can just do this online. Which I'm like, okay. I guess that makes sense, but it loses the fun about the show itself, right?
I do have mixed feelings on E3 on that front. You brought up, speaking of just kind of like the good and the bad, like as much as I love E3, I remember being there the first year that they started allowing fans in, maybe like 2017, which was cool. I think they should do that, because if I was, you know, if I had that opportunity to like go to E3 as a fan, like I would totally do it. But they didn't do a good job kind of making it a good experience for everyone attending, where, you know, you had fans waiting on these ridiculous lines to play 10 minutes of a game. And also, because of those ridiculous lines, it was harder for us to do our job and navigate the show. The few years after that, they got a little better, where I think there were like dedicated press hours where we could go in a little early, which is something I always appreciate. I think fans, especially for a gaming show, like I think fans should absolutely be allowed to attend this type of thing. It makes perfect sense, but at least have some kind of organization where there's just kind of a space or a dedicated time for us to do our thing, and also make sure, you know, it's a good experience for them as well.
I mean, in general, trade shows have kind of changed up a lot, especially, I mean, we just went through a pandemic. We're still in the pandemic. And it's actually, I think today's the 1 year or 2 year anniversary when the pandemic was announced.
It became official. Yep. Yeah.
But when that happened, I think, you know, all these trade shows disappeared for a while, and things slowly came back up. I think I was at CES. You ended up not showing up because Omicron.
Yes.
Getting it too, which kind of sucked.
Yep.
Not at CES before the show. It's just
right.
I personally, from my experience, it was kind of a weird experience for me. But I really appreciated it in general. It was really nice to be on the show, where it made me realize all the things we've been talking about, why I appreciate being at trade shows. Great way to just connect and catch up with people. Like, I'm based in San Francisco. A lot of my media friends are based in New York, and like it was a great way to catch up with them, or like other people who are just like in different parts of the cities. They're all there in one place, and just being able to connect with them, see what's up, being able to have a better understanding of just like what you're looking for in terms of like a good story. And those connections are just much more valuable when you're able to have that in person, rather than just shooting an email, where it's just super difficult just to always be on everything that's been thrown at you.
Yeah.
And I guess you've been to a couple shows since post-pandemic. How's that been like for you since then?
Since the pandemic, I haven't been to many like huge shows. What I have done is a lot of smaller briefings with companies, you know, checking out new laptops or things like that, just kind of one-offs here in the city. And those have been great because, yeah, like you said, there is nothing like that in-person interaction. As much as I personally love working from home, I'm a big just kind of hermit. love working from home. I love, you know, just kind of having the flexibility to work how I want. But there is something kind of energizing about getting to be face to face with a lot of people, you know, a lot of people in the industry that I haven't gotten to see in a while, and kind of get back to some kind of routine, literally just taking the train into the city again. It's one of those little things that I didn't realize I missed. Yeah, as far as my personal experience, like post-pandemic, I still haven't done a ton of big shows. Obviously, a lot of the media skipped out on CES. So for me, it's been a lot of these smaller meetups, which I think companies have been doing a really good job organizing and keeping things, you know, small and safe and doing the best they can with COVID. I did actually attend, not for work, just for fun. I did attend New York Comic Con in October. So I think that was my first taste of being back in like a big convention hall experience.
What was that?
It was interesting. Definitely the small, I mean, and it was nice in a way. It was definitely the smallest, probably least crowded Comic Con I've been to, which was pretty great. Cause obviously I've been going to New York Comic Con since before I was a journalist. I used to go as a fan every year. Then eventually I started going as press. And it's always a good time, but I found myself spending less and less time there this year, every year, because it's just so chaotic, so packed. So it was nice to be there this year it just felt like a much smaller attendance. I just went basically for a few hours on a Sunday. It was nice. Yeah. I mean, it was nice to like be at a convention, but also be at a much more focused, calmer version of that convention.
You know, you're not the first person to mention something about that on trade shows. When I was at CES this year and we're catching up with a couple of reporters, it was the weirdest thing to hear, but they were like, this is what I'm probably going to be one of my favorite CESs. For like, even there weren't that many reporters, mind you, but it was like,
yeah,
two or three reporters that I knew that actually showed up for the event because they got the green light to cover or come by, or they came on their own accord. But the ones that did show up, they did mention that this was one of their favorite experiences for the same exact reason, which makes me think it's like, you know, while trade shows are nice and fun and stuff like that, I think what could make it better? It sounds like the more intimate personal experiences where it's a lot more tighter group experience with like a select group of reporters being able to attend and like just be able to spend time with them is a lot better than just like being on this giant show floor with like all these people just trying to get your attention throughout the whole day.
Yeah, I would love it if we, you know, as things hopefully continue to improve with COVID, I do hope we can find a way to like retain some of the, yeah, I guess some of those lessons learned from the shows that have returned, and find ways to, like you said, have smaller shows, put people in smaller groups. Because it is really great to be able to do things in person again. But I think we also don't need every show to be this massive, you know, 10,000 person event where we're all kind of scrabbling to go to a booth and write about something.
Do you actually spend a lot of time writing at the trade show? Like,
yeah, that's changed. That's evolved over the years. Actually, I mean, I still have yet to do a big one for Underscored. But I will say at Tom's Guy, you know, we were very... we were very just kind of all systems go all the time. You know, we published a ton of stories every day. Everyone, whether you're a writer or editor, was doing a ton of writing. So for a lot of my trade show experiences at, you know, Tom's Guide and Laptop, it honestly was, I got better at this over the years, but in the early years, it was a lot of like, spend the whole day at meetings, get dinner, and then basically write in my hotel room until like the wee hours of the morning, and then, you know, sleep a little bit, do it all over again. Over the years, I got better at managing my time and realizing like, okay, I don't have to take every meeting. I should actually schedule some breaks in between things. So I started getting better at actually getting my writing done during the day, you know, in the press room or whatever it is. But in general, yeah, I've always, you know, my job is always, or like, you know, the outlets I've worked for, very much, we were always kind of reporting directly from the show. It's not like we would come home and then write. So, which I think is kind of the standard in our, you know, in tech journalism.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of late nights spent writing all night, which definitely was exhausting, but it was also kind of, in those early years, was a big bonding experience because a lot of us would get together in the same room and just have a big writing party. sometimes, yeah, I know it sounds so nerdy. It sounds like the dorkiest thing ever. But, you know, those were kind of very formative years. We're just kind of being in the trenches together, writing tech blogs until 2 a.m. Sometimes we would sometimes after hitting the bar, you would just, you know, like you just have to find the time to get all the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, sometimes, and who knows, maybe it, I'm not sure if it made my writing better or worse, but, you know, I always found a way to get my stuff done. So,
hey, I never called out a typo when I'm reading your stories. So,
exactly. Yeah. So there's that. But, yeah. So definitely a lot of time management skills learned over the past like decade of doing this kind of thing.
I mean, that is a good point. But at the same time, like as a PR professional and as a friend, like I don't want to be seeing, like giving you work that you need to be working super late in the hours. I want you to make sure you're enjoying that. Like, so what can PR professionals do to really make that easy? The one thing I found really valuable and like is embargoed news before the show even starts. And like, I find that super valuable and helpful, and partly because I'm like, look, I'm like, I know you've got a lot of things going on, and like being at the show, like it's just going to be too time consuming. So giving you the news in advance, I personally think it's a lot more beneficial for not just us, but for you as well, because it takes away the time that you would really need to like actually invest into like going to the show floor. Yes, it's nice to be in front of the booth and like, you know, checking things out, but getting the news in advance just makes it so much easier. And then I think it gets you more interested to actually drop by the show floor too, because you've just learned so much cool stuff and you kind of want to see it in action now, right? Mm-hmm.
That's super beneficial. That's such a huge part of CES and to a lesser extent E3 and all the shows I've covered. Yeah, I mean, at Tom's Guide, we would already, weeks before we would even fly out to CES, we had spreadsheets of, you know, all the products we knew were coming and what we wanted to cover and what we might want to skip. So yeah, having the embargo news early is really such a godsend in terms of figuring out how you actually want to tackle the show.
How does your newsroom kind of like, I mean, I guess it varies by newsroom, and you're still a recent addition to the CNN_ team, but how does the newsroom work in deciding like what gets covered at the show and what doesn't? How do you make those decisions, or how do the editors make those decisions?
Yeah, I mean, historically, I mean, at Tom's Guide, a lot of it came down to just what we thought would be the most interesting and useful to readers. So obviously, like stuff that always gets covered is, you know, just those big brand name products. We're always going to cover Dell's new laptops. Not that Apple does conventions, but we're always going to cover the iPhone, you know, at the iPhone event. So, you know, there's the obvious big name stuff. There's stuff that we might see, you know, if there's stuff we might see trending in some way, whether it's on Twitter or in search. So it's a combination of factors, but it's basically stuff, you know, what do we think our readers will be excited about? What do we think? Is this just a really cool, even if it's not a known brand, is this just a really cool product? Like that Target's backpack that was just had a really awesome feature set. So it's a combination of just covering the big name stuff because we know people are interested, kind of staying on top of, because even during trade shows, a lot of us, at least, you know, I was one of the kind of the senior level editors at Tom's Guide, like I was still keeping up with what's happening in the news and what people are actually talking about from CES. So using that as a gauge, you know, seeing what's popping in Google News, and then also just using your instinct of like, wow, this is really cool. I think people should know about it. I think this story could blow up because I have a really cool, it's just a really wacky gadget. And I feel like we have to show this to people.
So I think that's really helpful to know, because I'm pretty sure, I mean, even before trade shows, you're getting all these product emails and things like that. And it's not like everything you're going to be covering. What are some things that you do like to cover these days? And like, you know, what should people keep in mind for you if they're attending like a tech trade show or something like that? Like what products should they pitch you?
Sure. I mean, well, just speaking about, you know, because obviously I'm at Underscore Now, which is definitely a slightly different type of outlet than Tom's Guide. So I think we're a bit more, partially because we're a smaller team, partially because we have just kind of we're a different type of outlet, but we're definitely more selective, I think, than a lot of other tech outlets, because we're less about, you know, basically our whole kind of mission is to focus on products people can actually buy, and, you know, provide buying advice around that. So we're not necessarily gonna you know, we don't really cover just straight up news. If, you know, we're not going to necessarily, there are exceptions, but we're not necessarily going to write about a new feature coming out, or we don't deal in rumors, or we don't deal in, you know, hey, this thing just got announced, but there's no price or release date. It's just kind of exists. So we're kind of hyper focused on the consumer. So it's really about, and at trade shows, that means, you know, focusing on like going hands-on with products that are coming to market soon, basically. That's probably the simplest way I could put it. It's like the more consumer focused it is, the better for us.
And that's why I sent you that Targus backpack.
Exactly. That was a good call.
Well, thank you, Mike, for joining us today. And thanks to all of you who have been listening. If you'd like to hear more and from him, you can follow him on, where would you prefer people coming off to?
The best place to follow me is just on Twitter at Mike Andronico. I share a lot of my work there. I also just make a lot of silly jokes there. I tweet about wrestling a lot, so you'll have to deal with that. And yeah, obviously check out CNN _@_.com. You can also find our stuff on the CNN homepage. So yeah, that's me.
Well, thank you. And if you have any more questions or would like more information about Hotwire, please visit us at www.hotwireglobal.com. We'll have new episodes soon, so please sign up on our website and we'll let you know when they're available. Thank you.